Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Appreciate you listening to AFR and this program. We got a lot to talk about the next hour and 25 minutes, and joining me to do so is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Ed Vitagliano is on the road. Not as much as Willie Nelson, but he's on the road. So he'll be out for a couple of days. Fred Jackson's with us. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Yes, I was talking to Ed this morning. He has decided to drive to his destination.
Yes.
7 hours.
Yeah,
And I then informed him it's a 45-minute flight.
Did you? What did he say to that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh. I think he's driving from Tupelo to Greenville, South Carolina, right?
Yes, sir.
7 hours compared to some drives is not that bad.
Not bad. But if you have to go through Atlanta.
Hold on a second. I'm fixing to calculate that just a minute here. I'm going to see what Brother Ed, let's see whether Brother Ed loses his religion today or not. Because if it's 10 o'clock where we are, it's 11 o'clock Atlanta time, right?
You got it.
So I'm calculating, let's say he stops and eats in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Atlanta about 5 o'clock.
Atlanta, 2 hours in Atlanta.
Okay. Call Ed about 5:30 and see if he's displaying any fruits of the Spirit. I doubt you'd find, huh? What do you think? that's the way in most major cities. Mm-hmm. You get 5 o'clock. Really, it starts at 3:30,
yeah.
4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere from about a 3 hour there. It's just awful.
You know, when you fly through Atlanta, you know, it's tough because it's the world's busiest airport.
Yeah.
But when you drive through Atlanta, and I was there a couple of months ago driving through construction, like everywhere.
Yeah. In the airport, you mean?
Oh, no, no.
City.
The city, the interstates. All of that.
Yeah.
A lot of construction going on. Not pleasant.
No.
Not pleasant.
Oh, so Brother Ed's be gone for a couple of days, and we just... We call him about 5:30.
Yeah, I know.
Ask him how he's doing.
Will you be back in time to see Super Bowl next Sunday?
Right. How are you doing? all right, Walker, what are we going to be doing on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
We are live streaming. You can watch the show, watch Today's Issues on Facebook. Also, you can visit AFR.net and listen to the show live there also, and the podcast. So if you want to listen to today's show on tomorrow, you can do that. If you miss half of it, you can listen to past shows at AFR.net. And lastly, the AFR app you can download on your smartphone or your tablet device. You can download the AFR app and listen whenever and wherever.
Okay. Now, Walker, you got a show coming up starting this weekend on AFR, your own show, right? I mean, there's no going to be no Ed, no Fred, no Tim.
Nobody interrupting me.
It's just going to be you carrying the day for 30 minutes, right?
That's right. I have a show coming up this Saturday. Will be the debut, 2:30 p.m. Central. It will air 2:30 p.m. Central. The title is Exposing Washington. So each week I'm going to spend 30 minutes to 12 and a half minute segments. So it's really 26 minutes exposing all the ins and outs of Washington, and really reporting a lot of the news and information you don't hear even from conservative media outlets.
Who's your guest this week?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll monitor the news the first few days of the week and see what topics hot.
But that's coming up this Saturday is your debut.
That's right. Saturday at 2:30 p.m. on AFR.
Exposing. I like the title, Exposing Washington. Okay. So man, we look forward. Oh, man. 2 o'clock Central time you're talking about.
That's right, and I'm hoping that we have this 4-page FISA memo to talk
Which
about.
Which leads us to Fred's top story.
Yes.
Right? Is that your top
story?
Yeah,
we've been talking about this now for a number of weeks, this FISA memo, which certain members of the House have viewed already. We've heard their testimony on TV saying explosive, career-ending, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, what we believe from those who have read this FISA memo already, is that this federal court, which was set up basically in the wake of 9/11 to go after terrorists in this country. The speculation is that it was what they call weaponized by the Obama administration to track the conversations and movements of then-candidate Donald Trump and his team members. Now, that is the speculation. So what's going to happen is that the House has control of the release of this FISA memo to the public, and they're going to vote at 5 o'clock Central, I believe it is, this afternoon. The House has to whether to make that public so we can all read it for ourselves. Now, I expect if they do vote in favor of this, it'll be redacted. There'll be some areas in there, and that's fine. We understand for national security reasons. But certainly I, for one, am anxious to see, because we've been told that the indication is that, indeed, the Obama administration allowed, using this dossier, allowed this court to go ahead and basically, remember President Trump's statements about his tower being wiretapped, and everybody mocked and laughed. It's when he moved his transition team over to New Jersey. Well, we're going to find out, indeed, maybe, if this is the kind of thing that happened, thanks to the Obama administration, his attorney general at the time. So this is a big day. We're going to find out if the House is going to vote to make that public.
Is this a committee vote or a full House vote?
My understanding, it's a full House vote.
Okay, and there's division in the Republican ranks, so there's no guarantee it'll be released, right?
Exactly. There are some Republicans saying, no, we can't do this. You know, there are things in here that the public should not know, or bad guys in the public should not know. But I think they're under a lot of pressure to get this information out there because, as I say, members of the House who have seen this have gone public saying, yes, I mean, there is definite proof in this. Now, the Democrats, they certainly don't want it released.
Why is that?
The Democrats believe that this will add credit to the arguments that FISA was weaponized by the Obama administration to try to help defeat Donald Trump candidate in the election.
Yes, and another reason that the Democrats should not want the memo released, I believe, is because it will totally dismantle the special counsel.
Robert Mueller.
Yes. Every piece of evidence he's using against Trump, President Trump, and Manafort and Michael Flynn might be discredited by the release of this memo.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be very interesting to see what's in it.
Yeah.
So this is today, you're
today
saying?
Today at 5 o'clock, there is a vote scheduled in the House.
Any prediction?
Well,
it will be released.
Slash hope.
It will be released.
I think the public needs to know.
Yeah.
Given the fact, as I say, these several House members have come out and said, you know, this needs to be out there because the public is going to be shocked by this. You've heard comments like this investigation makes Watergate look like primary school stuff.
Right.
All of these things are out there. So the public is saying, wait a minute, I want to be able to judge this for myself.
Yeah. And I think there will be some names left in the memo. Mm-hmm. I think there will be some names that will not violate national security concerns. I think there will be some names left in the memo that will expose a lot of this.
Yes.
And this memo not just implicates a few lower level staffers in these departments. These FISA, these Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, these applications have to be signed off by the FBI director.
Yes.
He has to sign off on these before they make their way over to the court. So whoever was the FBI director, which was James Comey during the time, he'll be implicated in this also, which is why he now has an attorney.
Well, and attached to this story is the other story that's brewing out there today. Will President Trump appear before the Robert Mueller special investigative team? We have heard the president say, yeah, I'm willing to talk. But now there's been debate, apparently, from his lawyers who say, no, this would not be a good idea. And there are others. Newt Gingrich was on Fox and Friends this morning. He said if he was advising the president, he said I would not allow him to appear and be interviewed by Robert Mueller. Here's what Gingrich had to say.
My strongest advice to the president is to never be interviewed by Mueller. There are the dangers inherent in having all of those high-priced lawyers who spent a year now digging up everything they could dig up and walking in and saying, now, do you remember on January 3rd at 3 in the afternoon, a meeting you were in over a year ago, the danger he has of giving them an answer which doesn't fit their other material is enormous.
I hope
his lawyers will talk him out of it. Well, I think Mueller could try to get a subpoena, but I think they would fight that in court. I mean, the first question that Trump's lawyers ought to ask is simple. What is the crime you're investigating? Mueller has never identified any crime of any kind that Trump is being investigated
for. There was no parameters.
All right, so there you have it. That was Newt Gingrich speaking this morning on Fox and Friends.
Great advice.
Great advice is right. And so if we get information on this FISA memo, we would lead people to believe that there was collusion with the FBI, which Robert Mueller used to head, that there was collusion between the Hillary Clinton campaign, the FBI, and this FISA court, all aimed at trying to defeat Donald Trump, then all of a sudden, maybe President Trump can come out and say, well, because Mueller's FBI is implicated now in this, I'm not going to appear before this investigative team because there's some political bias there.
You know what? This whole thing, it was supposedly a started out to be a investigation into the, quote, collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Which didn't happen. Had it happened, we would have the story by now. With all the news media digging that hate President Trump, this would already have been exposed by now. There was no... That's why President Trump says, hey, I'll talk to Robert Mueller. I'll even do it under oath. Now, he says that, and I think he means it because he's saying, I got nothing to hide here. But even so, Newt Gingrich and any decent lawyer would tell him, they can trick you, sir.
Yes.
And they can do like Newt Gingrich says, do you remember on so-and-so day? And then he says, no, I don't remember that. And then they come back and say, oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Because that did happen on that day, on that hour, and you said you didn't remember.
Yeah.
So you don't do that. You respond in writing.
Yes.
Through your lawyers.
Yes.
To the questions that are put forth by the by Robert Mueller. But there was no collusion. You know what? Somebody said yesterday, I was listening, they said even that collusion's not is not illegal.
That's right.
No.
Even if you say collusion, whatever that means, that's not illegal.
Yes, and the president cannot obstruct justice.
Right.
Which is some other claims that they're
throwing to the
there.
Point of Newt Gingrich, what crime exactly are you investigating, Mr.
Mueller?
Yeah.
This is just, you know, but here's the point I wanted to make. This has become more about, this has exposed what was going on with the FBI.
That's right.
And perhaps other top officials in Washington, D.C., to subvert, and you talk about collusion.
Yeah.
This is collusion to destroy a candidate.
Yes.
And this is what's being exposed. If I were the Democrats, quite frankly, I would just soon this thing go away, and they're going to move on because it's looking worse for them. And than it is for President Trump.
If the special counsel is the insurance policy that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were talking about in text messages.
And these are the FBI agents. We already know. We've seen their texts.
They hated Trump.
They hated Trump. Yeah. They loved Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And trying to work to get Hillary Clinton elected president.
If the special counsel is the insurance policy, which I believe it is, then even if this memo exposes the entire insurance policy and how corrupt it is, they're going to try to squeeze President Trump at the last minute before they have to dismantle the special counsel. And so they're going to charge him. If he comes in and says he ate a hamburger on Tuesday and he actually ate it on Wednesday morning, they're going to charge him for perjury.
Yeah. Right.
And a sitting president being charged, brought before a grand jury, that's bad.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't say a word to him.
And we need to remind people, Newt Gingrich talked about the team of lawyers working for Mueller. We've told you before, folks, most of those lawyers are all Democrats.
Yeah.
Democrat supporting. They pledged money to Hillary Clinton's campaign. Now, right there, if there was collusion going on, it's collusion in the FBI with the Obama administration.
This is just such a waste of time and money. and energy on the, with Robert Mueller and this investigation. Like I said, had there been, if you can show me where Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump got on the phone and said, "Hey, can you change the voting machines in Pennsylvania to help us out there, Vlad? What about Michigan? Can we throw in Wisconsin? We really need Wisconsin. So if you guys can cover that for us from Moscow, I think we can win the rest of the state straight up, and we can win this thing. What do you say?" And remember, this is just between you and me, okay? We can't tell anybody about this. You with me, Vlad? Yes, I'm with you, Mr. President. That's what we're supposed to believe.
Yeah.
Happened here.
And the two Democrats, Schiff and Feinstein, from California, sent a letter to Google and Twitter talking about that the release the memo hashtag was from Russian bots. Well, Google and Twitter released a statement saying, no, this is real people wanting the memo released. Yeah. Real accounts.
Right.
And
right.
So it dispelled the whole theory that Russia's cyber teams getting involved in U.S. affairs. Mm-hmm.
There's one other element to this story that we have to talk about, and that's, you know, President Trump faces opposition even from Republicans. Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, is co-sponsoring legislation that would protect Mueller from being fired without a legal basis.
That's still out there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is Lindsey Graham. He was on talk shows during the weekend. He, along with fellow Republican Senator Susan Collins, who have never been allies of President Trump, they're actually putting together legislation they want to pass into law that would make it difficult, if not impossible, regardless of what Mueller has done in the past, to fire him.
I don't think you can do that. I think President Trump can fire me if he wants to. Now, he may suffer political fallout for doing it, but I don't think that's constitutional.
To take away a power of the executive branch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what they're trying to do.
But Lindsey Graham, sometimes, does it not seem like Lindsey Graham's playing for the other team?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Why don't you just put a D beside his name and be done with it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It just seems like he's playing for the other team here.
Same with Jeff Flake and some of the others.
Yes. Yeah. I read a real interesting column by Ann Coulter over the weekend, and she was talking about Senator Graham. And she said, why is it that Senator Graham has been – who appointed him leader of the Republicans on immigration?
Yeah.
She said he is not in the mainstream of the Republican Party. Mm-mm. When it comes to immigration, and certainly not in line with the people who voted for President Trump. But here you have this fellow from South Carolina, the senator, as a leading spokesperson for the, on immigration. Anyway, I thought that was a very interesting comment, because she's right. Why does he, when he's in the minority in his own party, why does he get to be the, the power broker on or the spokesperson on the immigration? Because hasn't he basically been for amnesty?
Oh, yeah. All the way. Along?
This just goes to show you the power of the incumbency, because South Carolina is one of the most conservative states in America. In fact, voted for President Trump in the primary. It was kind of the state that kind of put him,
State of Nikki Haley, the former governor.
Right, there. And everybody thought that Senator Cruz was going to win there, or Marco Rubio, and in fact, Trump won, and that kind of went on to set the tone for him to take the Republican nomination, but it's a very conservative state, and yet Lindsey Graham keeps getting reelected time and time again. So that just shows you the power of the incumbency. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, Tim with Walker and Fred. We thank you for listening to AFR. You can watch the show live if you want to on our Today's Issues Facebook page here on American Family Radio. So did you watch the Grammys last night, Fred?
I watched some of the follow-up this morning, and the big story coming out of the Grammys, I don't follow all that the music industry, but...
Well, I was going to ask you what your favorite music was from the Grammys. You didn't even watch it?
Yeah, I plead ignorance to it, but okay. I did watch the highlights. One of the big highlights was one of the featured guests on the Grammys last night.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton.
Uh-huh.
Hillary Clinton was
there.
Yeah.
Now, what did she have to say?
Well, we have a little excerpt of what she had to say. She was asked to come on and read a portion of Fire and Fury, which is the book that's highly critical of President Trump. So they had a number of people come in, and the last candidate for the Grammy Award last night, Hillary Clinton, this is what she had to say.
He had a longtime fear of being poisoned. One reason why he liked to eat at McDonald's. Nobody knew he was coming, and the food was safely homemade.
That's it. We've got it. That's the one.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
The Grammy's in the bag?
In the bag.
There you have it. The crowd roared. They love Hillary Clinton.
Well, they had some other celebrities. This is just, it's the Hollywood, New York, far lefty celebrity crowd, what do you call it when they love each, they
self-adulation?
No, they congratulate each other on being little gods in their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
She's reading from this book.
Yes. The Fast and Fury book.
I got you. Well, somebody said they had the lowest ratings ever for the Grammys. Television-wise.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these folks are just irrelevant, but it was a very political night, I'm told. Again, I didn't watch the program.
You talk about, the Hollywood, New York, again, liberal groups, the liberal crowd, if you will, it's all groupthink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they pride themselves on diversity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And tolerance. Yep, it's all, you have to think one way and act one way, or you're not tolerated.
This is from the Hollywood Reporter, which is not a conservative outlet. Says the 2018 Grammys tumble from recent years, 21% down from last year.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. I think the American people, the folks that live between New York and San Francisco, are just fed up with this nonsense. They may like the music, whether it's whatever the genre of music they like, but they're tired of these artists now becoming very political and, for the most part, very anti-conservative politics.
And anti-American in many
yes.
ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's so over the top. You know, Hollywood's always, well, not always. We're talking about back in Hollywood was at least moderate to conservative back in the 40s, 50s, and even sometime into the 60s, but that all changed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so over the top that like reading from that book,
yeah,
that is so blatantly anti-Trump. Well, half the country voted for Mr. Trump. All right, you're dissing half the country,
yep,
to make a political statement. Mm-hmm. It's no surprise when you do that. It's already tough enough out there in the TV world to try to draw, a crowd to watch your show, and when you're sort of spitting in the eye of half your viewers before you even get started.
Right.
It's no wonder that the ratings are what, but 20% down 20% from last year.
Yeah, 21% from 2017 Grammys.
Yeah.
They're saying it could be an all time low.
Yep.
Since the Grammys began.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I haven't watched that in years, the Grammys. I do see the story subsequent to the Grammys, see who won, but I don't even. Of course, I'm 54, but I don't even recognize hardly any of these artists.
Not keeping up with hip-hop there?
No, but it seems like it's all taken over by rap now. Rap and hip-hop. I don't even know. Do they have rock and roll?
And country music. I don't know if country was part of the Grammys.
Well, they had a little bit of country, but I don't even know.
I don't know any of the names up there.
No.
And you're a millennial.
Yeah, I don't know any of the
names. I knew that Bruno Mars, he won record of the year.
Yeah, I recognize his name. But yeah, the vast majority of them, I have no idea who they are.
Right. I couldn't sing. I couldn't tell you a song. I mean, really.
No.
But why would I? I don't listen to that. Don't listen to that stuff. But it's amazing. 20 down. The ratings down 20%.
And that represents a whole lot of money. Revenue.
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We will be back in 3 minutes with more of today's issues on AFR. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examined.
Too often, the people who say they're fighting for inclusion, tolerance, and diversity are the most intolerant, non-diverse people, exclusive people you'll ever want to meet.
We'll also have Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning and headlines from newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl.
All that and more on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. At spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu. Today.
President Trump's immigration plan looks like and smells like amnesty. The proposal met with skepticism from conservatives and downright anger from Democrats. It was expected the president would offer a pathway to citizenship for 700,000 of the so-called dreamers. Instead, as many as 1.8 million illegals could become citizens, provided they meet strict guidelines, good moral character, no criminal record, and education. In exchange, the White House would get $25 billion for a border wall and the elimination of chain migration and the visa lottery. Instead of jumping for joy, Democrats are furious, accusing the president of holding dreamers hostage. But that's just not true. President Trump called the Democrats bluff. Their response to his immigration plan exposed the truth. It has nothing to do with taking care of illegals. It's all about a power grab. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to American Family Radio. Walker's got us on Facebook Live video streaming. So if you want to watch the show today, comment on the program, or access the story. He's putting the stories that we're talking about on our Facebook page, so you can download them for yourself. Where is that, Walker?
Today's Issues on Facebook is where you can read
simple?
The news stories. Yes, you go to Facebook and the search bar, type in Today's Issues, and you can find all the news stories there. If you, for some reason, do not have a Facebook account, you can just simply visit afr.net. afr.net.
By the way, over the weekend, I was reading about a way we can make our numbers go up on who likes us on Facebook.
Is that right?
Yeah. What you do, there's this company you can buy. you pay a few thousand bucks, and they'll create fake likes for you.
Okay.
I think they call them bots or something like that.
Yeah, probably Russian bots.
We can use Russians. I don't care. I don't think Robert Mueller cares about that.
Whatever puts our numbers up.
You just buy it, and it gives you fake people, but so people think – you have more supporters than you actually do.
Yeah.
Now, some people may say, well, that's lying, you know, or cheating or disingenuous. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
We can get our numbers up if we do that. So would you look into that
for us? Do you want to pay for it?
We can't use ministry money.
Right. Okay.
For that, but let's look.
We're doing pretty good with our
I'm kidding around about us doing it. Hopefully you know that, folks. But I was reading on a story off Drudge about these celebrities.
Yes, and also politicians.
Politicians?
Politicians, yeah.
And they inflate their numbers of people who like them on social media platforms.
Yep.
Right.
So that people think they're more influential than they actually are.
Yep.
And you can you buy fake supporters.
Yep.
It's amazing. One other thing I wanted to mention before we're going to get into some very interesting topic, I think that you're going to want to know about, involving vaccines for children. Mm-hmm. And we're about to talk about that in just a moment, and how much should the government compel you to do, and we're going to discuss that in just a moment. But you heard the advertisement for the Spiritual Heritage Tours coming up this year, one in June and one in September. I wanted to emphasize that we are going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We've been doing this for about 4 or 5 years. This is very popular with our folks, so we're going to do that again this time. So we've got June and September, and what we'll do, we'll go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown for 3 days, and then we'll come back and go to D.C. and Mount Vernon for 3 days, 3.5 days roughly on each one of those trips. So if you want to do both, if you're going to come to, Washington, D.C., we have people from California, Oregon, Arizona, Texas, Oklahoma, whatever. Usually they want to go ahead and do the Williamsburg part too while they're there. So we'd love to have you for these spiritual heritage tours of we're going to discover early American history there in Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Rich, rich history there. And then we're going up to D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. So again, we've got June and September tours scheduled. June, we're 75% full already, if you can believe that. So it'll be sold out by middle of the end of February probably. But if you want information on these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. If you want a brochure sent to you, your mailbox, you can hold it in your hand and read it. You can go to, it's not in Russian, by the way, it's in English. It's in American. English. So you can read it.
You
can order the brochure at 800 Families. 800 FAMILIES, option 5. Option 5, leave us your name and your address, and we will put that brochure in the mail to you today. 1-800 Families, option 5, leave us your name and your address. Now, don't call in and say, yeah, I heard Tim talking about the tours to Washington and Williamsburg. Send me a brochure. This is Roy Jones. Thank you. Because we get that every once in a while, Fred.
No address.
And Cindy, who takes the numbers off, takes the address. She is not a mind reader. I tried to get a mind reader. I tried to hire one. So make sure you leave your name and your full address, and don't slur your speech. And make sure you give us, if you got a funny name for an address, make sure you spell it out, okay? That's to call and order your brochure. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, joining us in studio is Rob Chambers, who's a Director of American Family Association Action, which is our political arm here at American Family Association. Rob, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim.
And also Abe Hamilton. Abe is Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is general counsel for us here at AFA and has the Hamilton Corner radio show each afternoon on American Family Radio, and is public policy analyst. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we're going to talk now, folks, about something that I guess is considered controversial. I know it's rare here on this show that we talk about things that are controversial, so it's going to come as we like to find things that are consensus. Rob, we're going to talk about, and this is going on across the country, this debate's going on across the country about vaccines for children, right?
Right, right.
Okay. I remember, and Fred does too, and I don't know if you guys experienced this, but I know baby boomers did. Mm-hmm. And I came on the end. I was the last of the baby boomers, born in 1963. But in the late 60s and 70s, we had to go through, I remember going to the school library, mm-hmm. all us fifth graders or fourth graders or whatever, and they punched our arm. Was that smallpox? What was that?
That was the smallpox, and then there was a polio one, too.
Yeah, it kind of left that tattoo-looking thing on your arm.
Yes. Well, yeah. I don't remember getting a polio. That's interesting. Maybe polio had gone out by then here in the U.S. You're about 7, 8, 10 years older than me, so you may have experienced that polio vaccine. But I definitely remember getting the smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
But it was done in the name of public safety. Mm-hmm. You know, it was good motives for doing that. And I don't remember any controversy about it. Maybe there was. But now, today, Rob, there's a debate going on nationally for many reasons, religious freedom reasons, going on, this discussion about what the government can compel children to take. What's happening in the state of Mississippi?
Yeah, Tim, in the state of Mississippi, there's a bill in the Mississippi legislature. It's called House Bill 1505. Basically, what it is it simply creates vaccine choice for parents who want to opt out of either of the vaccine or the vaccine schedule on the basis of religious reasons. So,
how can you do that when the public safety is at risk, though? What if everybody opts out? I understand, people, I'm playing devil's advocate here, so don't write me or email me and say, Tim, you're on the side of the devil. Okay. Don't do that. I'm asking questions that people have.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
That need to be answered. Go ahead and talk about that.
Well, the one thing that we're, first of all, the Bible tells us, you go to the words of Jesus, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's and unto God's what is God's. And so really fundamentally what this is, it's a pro-life, pro-religious liberty issue because about 10 of these vaccines are based on the research using aborted babies. So there's basically these vaccines, there are about 10 of these.
You have to get 10 vaccines in Mississippi?
Well, there's probably more than that.
Way more than that.
Yeah.
You upwards of 50 before kids are kindergarten
age. Is this in most every state?
No. Mississippi, well, the vaccine schedule is used in lots of other states, but Mississippi is one of only 3 states that do not provide this religious exemption. 47 other states in our country allows parents to enact a religious exemption to opt out of the mandatory vaccine schedule.
And California is one of those states, right? Yes. I mean, you know, what does Mississippi have in common with California?
So there,
in terms of religious liberty, that is.
So there's a bill in the Mississippi State Legislature. What you're saying,
yes,
which would allow for religious freedom objections.
Yes, that means this bill says if, and I'll read it. It says that the immunization requirements. This bill shall not apply to a child whose parent or legal guardian objects to immunization of the child on the grounds that the immunization conflicts with the religious beliefs of the parent or guardian. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Have we taken a stand on this?
We have. We sent out an alert to our supporters in Mississippi urging them to contact their Mississippi representative, urging them to vote for the bill. The bill is in the House Judiciary B Committee, as well as in the Education Committee in the House.
Where can people read about this?
They can go to afaaction.net. There's an alert there on afaaction.net where they can read about this. There's links. There's more information where you can go to be more informed about this.
afaaction.inc.
.net.
Excuse me, afaaction.net. afaaction.net.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Tim, the thing that's critically important here is not that somebody is, that we're attempting to come in and say to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. What we're simply saying is, don't you think it's important for the parents in Mississippi to be able to make that decision themselves or have the government apply a one-size-fits-all application to medical treatment? Can you think of any other type of medical treatment where when you come in, the doctor says, well, hey, you're going to do this, this, and this, no matter what your particular issue may be? Of course not. And Mississippi parents are simply saying that we want to be able to decide how, when, and where this happens for our children. There's some parents, and I have young children. I had a conversation with a physician one time with a newborn. I said, why should my child get a hepatitis B shot? Isn't hepatitis B most likely contracted through sexual contact? I don't think my newborn is going to be engaging in any type of frisky behavior anytime soon. So I would like the option to not be compelled to take the particular vaccine at that time.
What did the doctor say?
Doctor, at this time I was in Louisiana where you had the exemption liberty, and the doctor said, hey, you're the father. If that's what you think is right for your son, then go ahead with it.
What is the situation now, though? I mean, if a parent out of religious conviction today, without this law being in place that Mississippi's trying to bring in, the government can come to you, mom or dad, and say you're breaking the policy right now?
If you have a child and you want to put them in daycare, you want to put them in public school, you want to put them in private school, the school will tell you, has your child's vaccinations, are they up to date on their vaccinations? If you say no, they will tell you they will not admit your child until they get all of these shots.
Yeah. Wow, talk about strong arming.
Yeah.
Well, okay, fellas, I understand what y'all are saying. I'm sympathetic with it. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I'm thinking from a medical, a professional point of view, I'm all for religious freedom, but I'm also for public safety. We can't have everybody deciding what vaccines are going to get and not going to get, and exposing other students to things that unnecessarily because they don't want to get a vaccine. You understand what I'm saying?
And to that, I often respond, if you have your kids, hypothetically speaking, they're vaccinated and they're protected from it, why would my kids pose a risk to them if the vaccines are so effective?
Right. Yeah, and another thing,
That's not a fair question.
this bill anyway. Does not, you don't just simply not have to get vaccines. Right. There is a process. You have to be a responsible, law-abiding citizen, meaning you have to file an affidavit saying that you would like a religious exemption, and that affidavit has to be shown to the school and the daycare. So you can't just say, I'm not getting them and I'm not getting them. Mm-hmm. You have to go through a process.
I got you.
Meaning you have to really care about the issue.
Got you.
And I will argue that it will be a very small percentage of the state of parents that opt out, that choose to go through this process to opt out.
And
so,
and that argument is statistically supported. Neighboring Alabama has the religious exemption. Only 1% of Alabama's parents use the exemption for their children.
Right.
So to say that allowing the exemption is going to result in this, you know, the Niagara Falls will be unleashed to have non-vaccinated kids, that's just a factually inaccurate statement.
Okay.
And again, we have this exemption in 47 other states. Do you see, you know, Californians, Utahans, Ohioans breaking out? Of course not.
Right. Why would you be opposed to something like this, Rob?
Well, I would be opposed to it because, and I'll read this to you, at least 10 different vaccines for chickenpox, hepatitis A, polio, rabies, and rubella are cultivated on 2 fetal cell lines. Basically, there's as many as 10 of these vaccines that have remnants of aborted fetal cells within the vaccine. So when children or even adults are giving any of these vaccines, they are injecting their child with products of aborted baby cells.
But I think his question is, if you're like in the medical profession or whatever, why would you be opposed to a religious exemption?
I can answer that. And I don't want to malign anybody's intentions. I believe there are some well-meaning healthcare professionals that are genuinely concerned with these issues. However, I think we would be very ignorant or naive to underestimate the financial impetus of many of these pharmaceutical companies that have a relationship with many of the medical institutions where you have this quid pro quo relationship, utilize your medical status to lobby for these vaccines, and we'll make sure we take care of you in the back end to make sure we can still force Mississippians to run that $100, $50 to continue to pay us to provide these vaccines.
There's the other element that's come up and has been in the news a lot over the last few years is the ongoing research and concern over some vaccines which lead to autism in children. Yeah. And it's pretty scary. You can go on YouTube and there's a number of testimonies. My wife was showing a few of them on the weekend where moms, you know, perfectly healthy child, they get a particular vaccine. And all of a sudden, these autism, and autism is not something you turn around.
It happened to my neighbor that we lived by a few years ago. And now, I'm no doctor, and you say what you just said, Fred. A lot of people will say it's like you believe in Bigfoot. They don't want to, and I don't know. I'm just telling you what my neighbor said. This was a very smart guy. He was an engineer, and he studied this. This happened to one of his children. He had like 4 children, and one of his children had autism, and he said, my child was fine until they had these vaccines, and they put all these vaccines in them at one time, he said, and he was convinced that that led to his son developing autism. Again, I'm just telling you, to your point, a lot of people do subscribe to what you just said and to what my friend did, and I said, as I said, this was not a – this was a very well-educated man who had studied the subject. So there's a lot of – I'm just saying there's a lot of people who are concerned, Rob, about these kinds of things. Not only and they want the option, as they have now in Mississippi, they're considering this religious freedom exemption option where 47 states already have it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, sort of, you know, kind of piggybacking off of what Abe said a while ago about the pharmaceutical companies stand to gain, they're already gaining significantly by this compulsive vaccine.
My cousin works for a pharmaceutical company as a salesman.
Are y'all
putting him down?
Uh-oh, no. You're off the Christmas card.
I'm sure many of us have relatives that do the same thing.
Where I was going with this is that they're in Mississippi, and in many of these states have a no-fault law, meaning if something were to be proven about autism related to these vaccines, then the way the law is written, there's a no fault. And maybe our attorney here could explain what that means. Does that protect the pharmaceutical company?
And that's the bottom line. That it's kind of like, well, if something does happen, well, there are laws, federal laws and other laws that will protect them from facing any type of financial penalty for administering something that could.
Yeah.
Cause problems, and my very simply because there are concerns about the issue. Is that not enough to allow the people to have an exemption if the people want to use an exemption?
Mm-hmm. Autism has, am I correct? Autism has risen in the number of percentage of children that have it, right?
Yes.
So there's something causing that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that begs the question, doesn't it?
I think it begs the question.
All right, Rob, where can people read about this, especially for those who live in the state of Mississippi? You've written about this and give them all the information that they need to contact their state legislator.
Yes, they can go to afaaction.net. There's an article there about it. There's a place where you can conveniently click the link. For those of you that live in Mississippi, click that link, and then you can send your representative an email encouraging them to vote for this bill.
I'm just curious. Who are the other two states?
The other two states are California and West Virginia.
That
do not have it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So Mississippi is in the ranks with California. Conservative they are out there.
Yeah, in two counties.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Abe.
No problem.
Appreciate it. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. Fred, go ahead with the next story.
Well, last week, one of the big stories, of course, was that tragedy in Benton, Kentucky, where a young man who's now going to face charges went in and a shooting incident at a school, all too tragic. All too often, and two 15-year-old, one boy, one girl was killed, and 14 others suffered gunshot wounds. And they had their funerals for those two who passed away last week, but comments came from Kentucky Republican Governor Matt Bevin that I think are really important, because what you hear in the mainstream media after all of these incidents is the problem is guns. We have to have stricter gun laws. And that will solve everything. Well, that is so superficial. And I'm so proud of Governor Matt Bevin there in Kentucky, who wasn't afraid to come out and say on Friday that it's time for Americans to wake up and recognize that school shootings are a cultural problem. He says, we have become desensitized to death. We have become desensitized to killing. We have become desensitized to empathy for our fellow man, and it's coming at an extraordinary price, and we have got to look at the root causes of this. We can't celebrate death in video games, celebrate death in TV shows, celebrate death in movies, celebrate death in musical lyrics, and remove any sense of morality and sense of high authority, and then expect that things like this are not going to happen. Now, what the good governor said is not politically correct. But what he is saying, we are reaping what we have sown as a culture. When you have, for instance, these music videos out there that celebrate killing people, when you have a culture that includes, let's have more abortion rights across this country, taking the life of the unborn, and then you have governments that want to, they fight any bid to stop the killing of the unborn. And what this governor is saying, we have created this culture of death. And when these kids die, it has nothing to do with gun laws. It has to do with the hearts of individuals. And basically, it's a call back to the morality according to Scripture. That's what he's calling for here. And, I'm so proud of him coming out and saying this publicly And that's what needs to be said. That's the debate that has to be had in this country, not about guns. It's not guns that kill. It's the hearts of the individuals who have the guns in their hands. And that's what the governor says. We need a return in this country to that kind of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's refreshing, because oftentimes we blame inanimate objects for crimes such as guns, etc., and knives. But when like you said, when kids are watching movies where they're murdering people nonchalantly, and then they're playing video games where the goal is to hijack cars and kill people on the streets, then they actually carry that out in certain instances. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's a spiritual and cultural problem. It's not that we have a Second Amendment.
What did this young man? What was his issue?
I'm not sure what the motivation was in all of this. So sadly, many times it's just an anger problem of some sort. Sometimes it can be jealousy over boyfriend, girlfriend, all of these sorts of things.
But that's going to happen from now till the Lord comes back.
Right. That's right. And what the governor is saying is that we've created a mindset that the way to solve solutions now, something you're upset about, is to go out and take somebody, an innocent person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's happening. The other aspect of this, it generates the discussion once again, is that we need people in our schools who are armed to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's being fought by the anti-gun lobby as well. We should have teachers who have concealed permits that are allowed to carry guns. You know, some schools now have police officers on duty all the time. But there have to be people in the schools that are armed and are there to protect these students. Mm-hmm. And there are some people who fight that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, so you applaud the governor of Kentucky there.
Sure do. And that discussion, you know, this has come up before, that, you know, we took the Ten Commandments out of our schools.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed. We're not allowed to have prayer over the PA system in the morning to start. So people have said, and I've heard preachers like Pastor Jeffress have said this, who's Pathway to Victory here on American Family Radio. You know, we told God we don't want you in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, as I say, this is, we're reaping what we have sowed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tried to diminish the influence of biblical Christianity in our schools, and this is what's happening. This is part of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got about a minute left. You got a 1 minute story?
Yes. State of the Union tomorrow night. President Trump, be watching for this. His agenda is try to lay out what he plans to do. His first year in office, economically, certainly no one can argue with success. He's going to be talking about, we hear, a $1 trillion infrastructure program. He's talked about that was one of his election promises, but there'll also be an attempt to disrupt the president. A bunch of so-called Me Too people will be there.
What is that about?
Me Too is what generated out of all this whole sex scandal. It started in Hollywood. It's been in the...
Sexual harassment.
So there's going to be a bunch of Me Too people there because they don't think Trump has done enough to stop this. That's the allegation. There's also, I'm told, going to be folks who are in this country illegally. And they're going to be guests of some Democrats, DACA, Dreamers, as
they're
going to
be openly that.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be illegal in the country and you're going to
be
open about it.
Right. That's what we hear.
I would have the security at the Capitol checking IDs as they walk in. And if they're illegal, I would have ICE detain them right there and have buses outside waiting on them. Talk about popular.
You're tougher than Trump, Walker.
President Trump would be hugely popular
amongst
his base.
All right, we'll wait and see.
That's what Todd Starnes recommended. That's not original to me.
Right. And he said he'd have ICE agents there.
If
the Democrats are going to have DACA folks there, he's going to have ICE agents.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
All righty.
Steve Jordahl will be with us in 5 minutes with more as we continue the news. Cover the news, and we will see you back here then, folks.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.